Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way. Oh, trying to learn the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright. Oh, no one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No,
whatever grade level or type of school,
my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together,
I'm shaping students that'll shape forever.
The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse.
Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, you're opening up the minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should, I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood.
I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah.
Getting my class to spread the wings,
being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together, teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather.
We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed.
If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed.
And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up their eyes. I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is on time, gotta open up their eyes.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. You're jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh,
class is online,
yeah.
Gotta open up the minds.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Welcome, welcome to Season 3 of Teacher Talks. This is our last show for the season. Thank you for listening in. I am your host, Stacey McClam, live on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand sponsored by School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching by Stacey McClam, available on Amazon. So we have a lot going on, and we are still in the midst of the pandemic, so I do want to honor the essential workers that have been working since the beginning of this quarantine, and also have empathy for the families who have lost loved ones during this time. So we all know that we are currently, there are many protests going on all over the world, and so we'll get to that later. But I am an educator, author, and filmmaker. I have 10 years of elementary teaching experience. I've taught first grade through fourth grade, but mostly first grade. I've taught in Washington, D.C., Denver, Los Angeles County, and also abroad in Japan and Kuwait. In 2018, I resigned from the teaching profession and wrote a book entitled School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, where I describe why I left the teaching profession. The book raises awareness about the trauma that students and teachers experience at school. In between my teaching career, I went to law school to bridge education and the law for education reform reasons. However, after graduating, I noticed that it took too long to change policy and return to the classroom. I have a great respect for teachers and the teaching profession. Currently, I am transitioning from teacher to filmmaker. I have written 3 short films and directed 2 of them. I am currently in development for another film. My goal is to create films about education issues, and I feel that I can better serve students outside of the classroom by exposing people to the realities that occur inside the classroom through film. Now, today's guest I'm so excited to speak with is Angel Gaines. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Angel is a transformational voice. Once you experience her words of wisdom, change, and inspiration, you will never be the same. She has impacted lives in the classroom, boardrooms, and entertainment industry. Her honest, bold, and relatable experiences carry a deep passion for people giving themselves permission to live authentic lives. Ms. Gaines is an educator with over 20 years in both general education and special education settings. She is a life coach, counselor, and retreat facilitator. She is a highly sought-after speaker at corporations and professional association conferences around the world. She has received numerous awards, including in Los Angeles, the 2014-2015 Los Angeles Unified School District Teacher of the Year. Angel is a graduate of the University of Georgia, which during that time she was crowned Miss Savannah, Georgia in 1998, and then went on to compete for Miss Georgia's scholarship pageant in hopes of gracing the Miss America stage. After her pageant reign ended, Angel began an amazing career in public speaking, stand-up comedy, coaching, and acting. She is a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, and is originally from Savannah, Georgia, but now resides in Los Angeles, California. Hello, Miss Gaines. How are you today?
Hello. I am well. I am blessed and highly favored. I am doing great. That is the affirmation of today. I am doing great. Yes.
I love it. I am as well. Thank you so much for being a guest today. Now, I know school is over for you, so you were able to watch CNN all day. So
okay. Time out. School is it's only June 1st. We are school ends June 16th. I have maybe about 2.5 more weeks left. Yeah. And so working from home allows me to literally just have CNN on all day. I'm fortunate to be one of the, you know, few people, you know, that are considered essential workers during the pandemic. And so I was able to, you know, still teach while everything was closed down and shut down. So I basically worked from home.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah.
Because I know some teachers have the school year's over, but I know it's different around
right. The
country.
Yeah, everyone is different because I am currently working with students who are not in a traditional school setting. So our calendar year is different.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's been great. Yeah, it's been great. And it's just been learning how to transition with distance learning and making sure we give our students a very well-rounded and relevant curriculum during this time because they are at home and their parents have to be their primary educators. And so for many parents, they haven't developed that relationship of trust that teachers have with students so that they can be that voice, you know, in proxy for us. And for many parents, this has been a very, you know, trying time, especially for my parents who have students with behavioral challenges. It's just been very difficult. But I would like to say we were able to get through it. You know, it's been two and a half months since March, I believe, and almost 3 months of just distance learning and everybody just all hands on deck trying to figure out what's the best ways for students to grasp the information, get the concepts, but also maintain a level of separation between home and school.
Yeah, I definitely think parents are learning a lot. And, I mean, I think the children are too, in a different way. But it will be interesting to see how things change when the school year opens, when at whatever time it does reopen. That'll be interesting.
One of the interesting things that they said from this Coalition of Educators for California was that they were trying to find a way to find some commonalities that every school district can implement. But what they are really coming up with is that every school district is going to be able to choose their own start date, choose their own, like, you just have to do what works for your district based on the resources and teachers and the amount of help that you have to kind of implement the most realistic model for students. Because, as you know, it's already June, and usually school starts in August. So you're talking about maybe 8 weeks of really fine-tuning and prepping what this is going to look like. And unfortunately, COVID-19 decides on what this is going to look like, because we may see all these low spikes now, but come August, it could be a whole entirely different ball game for what we are expecting. And with all of these types of ideas of putting students 6 feet apart and putting plastic between them and what have you, or not going to common areas, not having basketball games and things like that, they're going to find that students are not going to excel in having such limitations or all and these parameters on what they can do and cannot do at a traditional learning center. So it may be learning is a more viable option. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what is going to come down the pipeline based on the information, you know, as it gets to us.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I personally think distance learning should be the default if just for safety's sake, because, well, one, schools are communal places and social places, as you know, and so I can't see, and I taught first grade mostly, so I just can't see keeping students 6 feet apart and even keeping their mask on.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I know
mm-hmm.
some parents may not want to keep the kids at home, but I just feel like if it's for a safety issue and health reasons, if we're not ready
mm-hmm.
to open up, I don't think they should open schools, but we'll see.
Right.
What happens.
Right.
But I do want to tell the listeners that I have worked with Ms. Gaines, and I do want to thank her because I have worked with many wonderful teachers, very dedicated, knowledgeable, just phenomenal human beings, and Ms. Gaines is one of them. Teaching is really a team effort, and she helped me in so many ways with her knowledge, specific knowledge in special education, because I, as a general ed teacher, am not trained in special education, and I think that's something that needs to change with the teacher preparation programs, because a lot of the issues that Ms. Gaines picked up on, she was able to inform me, because I literally did not know, just even some behavioral issues and just placement in, I remember, specials classes, just little things that I didn't know that could trigger a student. And so I really appreciate your knowledge and being so helpful with me in that area. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Yes, it does take a village. You know, when you're a special ed teacher, you tend to have a larger roster in the sense of you have students in everyone's class, but because you're going into everyone's class, you still become everyone's teacher. So I definitely take on the role of being a supportive of all of my colleagues, especially in special ed, and I totally agree with you that these credentialing programs are going to have to give general ed teachers a broader scope on what to expect, since everything is going into mainstreaming and you're getting students who have, you know, very, I would say in many cases, overwhelming needs, and you're not equipped to really handle that in the space of being with another 25, 26 kids. So we definitely need some change in that area. But also as a SPED teacher, I started working in special education for the simple fact that I've always loved, you know, the underdog. You know, I always wanted to find ways to help promote and elevate the students who always feel so disenfranchised from everything because in many ways traditional school, it just hasn't been cut out for them. And the school system in America, period, needs, you know, revamping. So just imagine now having an overwhelming group of students with special needs coming into an already, you know, broken system of learning because it's very linear. You know, it's very sit down. The traditional way is sit down, listen to me, give me back what I said on a piece of paper, and then that's it. But we're learning more and more that that is not how students learn, and it's not always the most beneficial. Whereas a lot of other parents who can afford to send their schools to private school, send their students to private schools and Montessori schools, where there's ways of exploring and learning and developing your own sense of exploration in education, those students tend to score higher on test scores, read faster, have a more global view of everything, whereas a lot of other students are just limited to what the teacher is dictating. So with that being said, I knew that I could make the most change in special education, so I decided to get my special education credential and leave general ed teaching, and it's been most rewarding. And so now I work with students who are suffering from a lot of behavioral and social disconnect, and so they need to be in a more restrictive environment to help facilitate their learning because there's just too much stimuli going on that they just can't handle. They don't have the capacity to handle it. And so, unfortunately, that kind of leads into the fact that they all have had run-ins with law enforcement because law enforcement, when they see, you know, students on the street, in the neighborhoods, you know, in all these different places with disabilities, and they're not responding the way that they think adolescents should, they, of course, are getting, you see more arrests with students with disabilities, more incarcerations and things like that, and you're not finding out until after the fact. So my goal is to always inform our students, like, look, there's a lot of areas in society that don't understand what you need and how to welcome you. So let's just be knowledgeable and clear about perception. So I think that for a lot of my students, they enjoy learning that they are definitely being judged. As Einstein, you know, don't judge a fish by how well it can climb a tree, right? Because it'll grow up thinking it's stupid, you know. And I want my students to understand that in many, many cases in your life, you are a fish that was told to climb a tree. And so I want to be here to show you where the water is and to let you know that you can thrive and get what you need without the tree. So, yeah, that's just, you know, one of my passions.
I can tell. It definitely is. And the kids love you. So what ages are you talking about now, students who have been had run-ins with law enforcement?
Oh, ages from 11 to, you know, 17. Yeah, because fifth graders, fourth graders are definitely, you know, they're taller now, they're more threatening. Unfortunately, there's a profile of what threat looks like to law enforcement. Usually it's a brown or black student, male, with a hoodie on and, you know, live in a low-income area. So, wow, you know, what an endangered species already. You know, I just got dressed this morning and I'm already with a target. So, yeah, and then, you know, on top of that, you have a disability. So there's a lot of disconnect with your neighborhood students and, well, not students, but neighborhood friends and peers because they know that you don't read well or they know that you have difficulty learning. So there's a lot of pressure and insulting and, you know, that type of thing where they're trying to develop their self-esteem. They're also trying to develop relevancy. So the most, you know, convenient thing that they feel is necessary is to start adopting a life of gangs and crime so they can get that respect and that adoration that they so desperately desire from their peers.
Mm-hmm. Got it. I mean, it makes sense from the student's perspective uh-huh. how they can be led down that path, unfortunately. And then to top it off with sometimes if law enforcement is not understanding of that, that can cause problems. And so uh-huh. that I'm glad that you are the type of teacher that does, one is aware of this and, you know, you do teach your students because they may not be getting it at home. And definitely uh-huh. perception is something they're just being themselves, but they don't understand how they're being perceived.
Right.
Even as uh-huh. adults, like you and me, could uh-huh. possibly not realize how we're being perceived in uh-huh. different environments.
Uh-huh.
So that
exactly.
leads to the topic, since you brought up the law enforcement with your students. We are in the midst of the protests going on, and mm-hmm. we're in Los Angeles, and so I received an alert today that it's now 5 p.m. curfew till 6 a.m. Yesterday it was 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
This morning I looked on Twitter and I saw, it just struck me how the conversation was framed, because it was just a Twitter headline said the 46, it was talking about the cleanup efforts of the protests
mm-hmm.
from last night.
Uh-huh.
And said the 46-year-old died after he was pinned to the ground by Minneapolis police. And I just
mm-hmm.
thought, like, the way they said it, pinned to the ground, well, he was murdered. And the independent
mm-hmm.
medical personnel, you know, today said
mm-hmm.
that, and we knew that anyway. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we, you know, are in the midst of this, so just what are your thoughts?
Wow. What are my thoughts? There are so many, and they're all coupled with emotion as well. I will just start by saying never did I think in my lifetime that we would witness modern-day lynching, and that's exactly what that was. It was a lynching. And never did I ever see a police video where it was in a length of 8 minutes where a man who hadn't even been charged or linked to, I mean, he's literally being interrogated from an accusation, to be in police custody and to plead and beg for his life, and for them to take it in the manner of which they did with no regard to his humanity. I just never thought I would experience that in my lifetime. And I'm just allowing myself the necessary space and the emotional capacity to accept it, to come to terms with it, come to grips with it, to enter my bereavement process of whatever that looks like for me. It also hit me because I am a teacher of literally 13 African-American and Latino boys. And that could have been any of my students. I am a sister of two men. I have a brother-in-law. That could have been any of my family members. And it's just so painful because the reality of living while Black is not different from the 1960s, where we've had so many civil rights movements and not realizing in many ways, we have so many more movements to go. And I feel like this is definitely the initial stages of the new era's civil rights movement, where we are just fighting to have our natural born given right to breathe. You know, to fight to breathe is beyond understanding for me. And as an educator, I encourage parents to have these conversations with your teenagers and your adolescents, because the anger that's fueling in them is not something they've ever felt before, and is not something they'll ever be able to control on their own without the guidance. You know, there's an old African proverb that says a child will burn down the village if it doesn't feel it, just to feel its warmth. If it's rejected, it's going to burn down the whole village to feel the warmth. So we have to understand that rage isn't something you go and get and you go muster up. It's an emotion that's inside of you that can be triggered. And we are experiencing that night after night with all of these different types of looting and fires being started and things like that. And let me also be very clear that we are aware, and I think the world is becoming aware of all of these different types of agents and infiltrating agencies that are coming in to start things, because the world knows that once something like this happens, it's going to be pointed at a black person as being the person responsible. But fortunately, cell phone videos being captured left and right by a lot of people are really our saving grace. That's really our saving grace in this movement, is being able to have footage and being able to document it and being able to get it out to the world without the media, without their and them doing it. We can go straight live on our own, and things can get shared and go viral on its own. We don't need media outlets to vet it and then cut it and show the narrative that they want to create. We can go straight to, you know, the source itself. And so many videos are being shared of showing how we are not responsible for this violence that's happening at night, but a lot of these anti-cop groups and all these political groups are using this way of exploiting our pain and our grief, you know, as the weakness or the vulnerability of the cops or the distraction of the cops so that they can go and commit such crimes. And it's very sickening.
Hello, ladies. It is very sickening. Hello, ladies. This is the producer. I was invited by your host to come in. May I comment, Stacey?
Of course, Beverly. Please do.
Thank you so much. And Angel, thank you so much. I felt your passion in that, and I wanted to comment on a few levels. First, thank you for defining your way of grieving, because it helped me connect with how I began grieving when this first happened. And I literally shut down on one side, and the other side of me had to maintain productivity as someone spinning plates, as a CEO, as a producer. And so there's a level that you have to continue to operate in the norm, and there's another side of you that has completely shut down. And what is indicative of what I am seeing playing out is something that, first of all, let me preface that every day at 2:00, I have a conference call with a civil rights activist. He is an icon trained and led by Megger Evers, and he is the leader of the Tougaloo Nine. He is now 83 years old. And every day we have a 2:00 conference that lasts about 2 hours or more. And one of the things that is very clear is that what is operating now continues to operate back when he first breached the whites-only library in Jackson, Mississippi, on April 27th, 1961. And in our studies, we have learned that there is an operation launched by the FBI called COINTELPRO. It was launched by Herbert Hoover. It is responsible for the death of many of our black leaders, including Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Megger Evers, Huey Newton. It is still in operation today. And this is not to politicize teacher talks. This is to give history and background as to the playing field in which the attacks on black and brown folk still play out today. It is because it is allowed, it is perpetuated, as we can see, by this U.S. government. Klan is still in operation today, but the Black Panthers are not. It is also a writ a law in that COINTELPRO that peaceful protests are a declaration of war. Peaceful protests are a declaration of war. That's one thing. So if you protest without opening your mouth, you have declared war, and that is how it is perceived. Secondly, it is a declaration of war on white supremacy, just to be clear. And then secondly, it is in place, COINTELPRO continues to maintain the social and political order of that white supremacy. So this is what you continue to see in operation. And when we learn our history and when we have the advantage of having someone that was trained by Megar Evers and that studies with him every day, then you get the opportunity to authenticate by research what I've said. And this is not to challenge anyone that is listening or might want to call in or comment. I'm thorough in this history. And I want to thank you ladies for having this conversation and dialogue and allowing my voice to be heard, and for the work that you do, especially the work that you do. I'm a mother. An educator to four children first, and the work that you do, laying out the groundwork for our youth, understanding them and being empathetic with their struggles on all levels, is pivotal. Now, last but not least, I love my millennials, and one of the things that I always tell Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr., the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, is that these new kids ain't gonna listen to no old slaves. Yes, that's what I tell him, and I mean that. So thank you once again, and have an amazing rest of your show. Take all the time you need. God bless.
Thank you so much, Beverly.
What Beverly is talking about is the counterintelligence program, and that is definitely in effect today. It's part of the FBI, and anytime they can discredit, their whole purpose was by any means necessary to discredit any group that is a threat to exposing the United States of anything, especially their ties to, you know, all of the amendments that they've changed. You know, like, oh, we fixed all that already. Okay, really? Okay, well, let us investigate it. Nope. We're going to stick them on you. We'll discredit you. We'll find, like, information. I mean, it's literally a by any means necessary tactic. And so, unfortunately, it reminds me more so of, like, Scandal. It's like the 613. So, yeah, thank you for shedding light on that. And I hope that listeners who are listening will go into their history books. And you know, we in the age of Google now, honey. You could just pull that right on up. That counterintelligence program, and there's several movies, you know, about them and what they're doing and what they've done, especially to the Black Panther movement. It's been quite interesting. And even to tie that into our educational aspect is that they're also watching how that story is told in the history books, the standards that we are requiring in U.S. history and American history. It is amazing how slavery is 2 pages. It literally
not even
goes,
that sometimes.
I know it goes from the slave trade as a means of this great American society. These poor people need a way to make money. They need a way of commerce. Oh, I know, slavery. Okay, let's do that. And then they call it indentured slavery, where they actually agreed to do it and they wanted to do it, and then everything was fine. So then we had a revolt, you know, like the way they tell the narrative is so not what happened. But that is why you have so many people so oblivious to the racial injustices that are going on in the world. And you're sitting there thinking, like, why don't they know this stuff? Why don't they see this stuff? It's because they're totally in the matrix of the world that these people have literally organized for them. And it's very difficult for them to think outside the box because the reward is that they benefit from thinking this way. So why then would I jump in the trenches with you when I have what we call white privilege? So unfortunately, as an educator, many of us don't even get the opportunity to teach privileged children because that those types of institutions stay in-house. You notice how, like, when we get our jobs and we come off the teaching, we're getting recruited. And usually we're getting recruited by districts with a high demand of poverty, with a high demand, they give you all these, you know, incentives. Oh, we'll pay you this, or we'll give you FHA loans, and we'll do blah, 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 blah. But what about those people who teach in Beverly Hills? Why don't you ever hear Beverly Hills school district teachers are unhappy? Why don't you ever hear about that? You don't ever see them posted on social media like, oh, my God, a day that I've had, right? So this is what I'm saying. It's all systemic. It's all a system that's working, and every single groove, every single wheel is finely tuned, and it's a lot of gaslighting. It's a lot of, oh, we hear you. It's a lot of patronizing. And so this education system is definitely a part of that, you know, one of those grooves that's turning with this oil machine. And right now with what's going on, it's one of those things where we'll just have to see how it, we don't have any, it's just like COVID. We don't have any other information to go and compare it to. I mean, there's no point in history where you're going to be able to go find a civil rights movement in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, right. One of the things that made a lot of those, the people who were terrorizing the whole, you know, exploiting the movement of the peaceful protesting, one of the great caveats is that they get to wear masks. You know, it, long time ago, it would be kind of obvious if you're coming in with a mask, right? You kind of stand it out. Everybody has on masks. So it's kind of like that scene in Inside Man, you know, Spike Lee movie, where the heist, you know, one of their greatest things was to dress everyone in the same outfit so that they don't know who's who. Sitting right now, put everybody, get everybody a Black Lives Matter sign, you know, tell everybody to say George Floyd when they walk down the street, you know, give everybody a hammer, set the bricks right here, and let's just, you know, accidentally think that, you know, they won't even pay attention. They'll think they brought them with them. So it's a lot of that going on. And unfortunately, it's one of these types of things where we're waiting on so many things to happen. And primarily, we're waiting on November 3rd, you know, so that we can definitely get out there and get our voices heard and get some leadership in this country, because we have functioned and thrived with all of these systematic things set against us. And that's what the beauty of Black people is, that we are resilient. And if anybody by chance have those young millennials listening to this, honey, you are stronger than any light you can match, any window you can break. You can sit through this pain and feel it. You know, rage is an emotion. It don't stay forever. And you are in every right to feel rage. But when you then take your life and become the very part of the system that creates this, because you are powerful. When you bust that window, you created victims. You created stopping someone else's livelihood. And some people not even paying attention, whether it's a Black-owned business or a minority-owned business. They're just, you know, looting.
Right.
Yeah, all of those things that you saw on Instagram that said it was going to make you, you know, popular and wonderful and everything, those are the exact things they're looking for, tennis shoes, Gucci bags, and you know, self-esteem. That's what they're looking for, and their rage, because they feel like, what's the point of doing it by the book when I feel like I'm always going to lose? What's the point of doing it by the book when I just witness a man breathe his last breath because this cavalier officer just, you know, in his nastiness and his evilness didn't want to move his knee? It's like, do we even sit down and think that all of this will be stopped if the man just felt like moving his knee? That simple act, just move your knee. But
he
it's,
had
but
hit a grin
knee,
too.
And that knee that man had on his neck was symbolic. In that knee, was so many years of him feeling that he has the right and the privilege of ending black lives just because he feels like it. And as simple as that. And so as an educator, and I also want to encourage all the educators out there, when it is time to talk about this, keep your personal views to yourself. Allow students to experience this the way that they're going to experience it, and let their households be the lead in how they are going to cope as a family. And there's so many teachers posting racial commentary and everything, and they're losing their jobs. And listen, no one's asking you to teach students and try to figure out and solve their problems. That whole idea of the great white hope in a lot of white teachers, especially in urban areas, you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to allow people to be. You don't have to understand it. It doesn't have to make sense in the essay when you're grading how they're feeling. And a lot of this culturally relevant teaching needs to start happening in real time, not just, teach them about African American History Month, teach them about Martin Luther King. No, teach them about the experience of leaving your classroom and walking through their gang-ridden environment, going to a store ran by Asians and not feeling respected in their own neighborhood. Talk about that and let them do the talking and you do the listening, because you get to get in your car and go to your home knowing that you have health care and that you have food on the table and that your children have someone who knows how to read a story to them at night. Some of us have to realize as educators, you're not here to make them understand your world is the best way to go. I know so many teachers that try to convince students on what colleges to go to or not go to. You are an educator. You are a facilitator of education. And it is not your job to try to recruit more people into your ideology of how you think the world should be. And I say that because there will be teachers that have to get up in the morning and report to work who have very racist views and standards, because we all are going to evolve in our own time. And I am a firm believer. What keeps my sanity is knowing that there is a force and a power greater than me that all of this makes sense to. And my brain don't have the capacity to hold on to the level of information and intel that power greater than me has. So I know when to turn off myself as an educator and go into my spiritual being, because we're both in a human experience and we're both in a spiritual experience. And we have to use them simultaneously, because that human experience has a level of capacity where it can't take no more. And you have to flip over into the spiritual. And that's where you take your rage. And that's where you take your anger. And that's why forgiveness is so important. People think forgiveness is about condoning what they've done. No, I don't have to agree with what you've done, you know? You were going to say something?
Ms. Gaines, you've said so much that I want to respond to. Hold your thought about the forgiveness, because I want to come back to that. We're going to take a quick commercial break and return live on Tribe Family Channel right after this.
And let me just say one more time, I'm so sorry, but before we go to this commercial, Stacey, you told me that this sister was bold, honest, and relatable. Now, I want you to welcome her back to your next season, because this is the type of heat and fire that needs to be heard. Okay, so if you're just tuning in to Teacher Talks with Stacey McClam and you're feeling the heat, good.
Hi, my name is Stacey McClam. I'm an educator and author and the host of Teacher Talks on Tribe Family Channel. So what's your genius? My genius is that I'm sensitive to education issues. I was a teacher for 10 years. Last year, I resigned from the teaching profession and I wrote a book about it entitled School Dismissed Walking Away from Teaching. My book is available on Amazon in digital and in paperback format. Today, I am wearing red in support of day 3 of the Oakland Teachers and the Oakland Teacher Strike. Now, I am on a mission to create films specifically about education issues so that people know what's going on inside of schools so that we can help our students. So, what's your genius? Genius is common.
We wanted to just take the time out to say thank you to all of our previous guests here on Teacher Talks via Tribe Family Channel. We're going through some turbulent times. We don't know what history will say about the dawning of this new decade, nor will 2020 be recorded as kind in the books of history. Here at Teacher Talks, we invite your voice. We ask you to return in the fall of 2020. Again, thank you to all of you who felt it was important to be on this broadcast and to make your voices known. Be blessed and have an amazing summer. Teacher Talks. Tribe Family Channel. God bless.
Hi, my name is Stacey Matt-Clam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymatclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacy Matclam. Thank you.
Hi, we're back. I'm Stacey McClam, your host of Teacher Talk Season 3 with my guest, Angel Gaines, educator, life coach, speaker, counselor, and so much more. So before the commercial break, Ms. Gaines was talking about forgiveness. So I wanted to go back to that point and have you explain what you were saying.
Yes, I was just in this climate and this day and time that we are living in, it is so important for us to have a daily practice of forgiveness. And what that means, and my experience of it, is literally a moment where you take to exhale all of those feelings of wanting revenge. Justice is not revenge, and many people intertwine them. And the reason why forgiveness is so important to do on a daily basis, on a daily practice, is so that that emotion of vengeance doesn't stay in your body and convert itself to something that is going to eat you alive or a suppressed immune system. One of the things that I try to discuss with a lot of my clients in my life coaching is learning how to go and make a list of everything, person, and institution that you have a resentment for. Because if you don't deal with the resentment, when that thing wrongs you, it becomes something else that you are not going to have the capacity to handle. It's like everybody has ingredients inside of them to create a beast, to create a monster. And what you want to do is always inventory what is there and not allow that monster to create and take over your life. Because the one thing that terrorists do, see, lynching is a terrorist act. And the reason why that man did what he did the way he did it is because it's supposed to instill fear in the people who are on looking. It was, he looked them in the eye as he was looking, as he held his knee down, because he was sending a message to all of them that says, you're next, if I wanted to be. You know, I don't care how much you're asking me to move my knee. I don't care how much you're trying to convince me that this man is dying. You're next because I got the power of that. That's terror. That is a terrorist. So that you can go home with that fear and then live with it. And the number one thing you don't want to do is allow that man, that officer, you go to sleep at night hating him so much that you can feel it in your gut that if you had the opportunity, you would kill him. You don't, but Dr. King always says, don't ever let a man bring you so low as to hate him. And a lot of people think hate and love are opposites, and they're not. You know, the opposite of love is indifference. People who don't care. Those people that are saying, oh, I love black people, but they're real silent. They don't have a side in this. That's the opposite of love. Those quiet people who are just not taking a stand either side. Those people who are posting on social media about none of this, indifferent. That's what that is. So when we see this type of injustice happen, we can allow ourselves to feel those emotions, but take them over to your spiritual side, because if you leave them in your human side, you're going to destroy something, and you're going to, and usually what becomes most destroyed. The most destruction comes from you. It comes from you tearing yourself apart. Because no matter how much fun you might think lighting buildings and cop cars and looting and breaking windows and things feel now, when yourself and yourself come together, that's when that shame and guilt comes, and then you're trapped in this whole triangle that you've created, where now you're like, what do I do? Because now I got to go face the judge and face penalties, and now I'm losing 5 or 10 years of my life for crimes that I did out of anger and frustration. And it's like, it's never too late. It's never too late to stop and say, hold on a second. I don't have to at all like that man. I don't have to love that man. I don't have to think about him and hope great things happen to him and he win the lottery. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is simply saying, I release that cop to a power greater than me. You understand? I can't serve him. What I think I want him to feel in response to what he did. So I have to release him to a power greater than me. Don't take that man to bed with you at night and wake up with him in the morning. That's terror. You're allowing him to just plant seeds in your life of bitterness, because the more you hate a man you have no access to, the more you're depriving yourself of your own fulfilled life. And so in these times, that's one of the things that our ancestors was able to do to survive, was they used their spirituality to get through a lot of the toughest. Because although we saw that one happen, they saw many hanging from trees. They saw many blown up in buses and beat up on bridges. And we can handle the one we saw on videotape. You can do that and still be peaceful in your own presence and sit in your own pain just for a while. Because listen, young people, and people who are listening in pain, trouble don't last always. It don't. None of it comes to stay. One of the greatest prolific writers, Rumi, wrote a poem called The Guest House. And it's basically a poem by saying, it's a guest house, honey, these emotions. Welcome depression. Welcome the sadness. Welcome the rage. Welcome the anger. But treat them like guests, because they're not here to stay. They don't take up residency, and they don't get real estate. And let them come in, because they're clearing out some stuff in you. All things work for our good. So So I'm not telling you not to be angry. I'm telling you to choose a different way to express it. I'm not telling you to not be outraged and cry when you see his family and cry when you see the cover-up and the people trying to exploit this, because they're sick. They're sick. They're doing what they think works for them. They're sick. So don't allow their sickness to come seep into your life and rob you of internal joy, because it's not anything joyful with throwing that brick, looking after your back every time you leave your house from now on, thinking the cop is coming because they have evidence of you doing it. You're creating your own hell. And it's bigger than the one that he tried to do by putting his knee on someone's neck. So don't have shame in your emotions, but understand they're not here to stay. And that's what forgiveness is, knowing that these emotions are here to shake up something. But they're not here to rob you of your life and your livelihood and your health and your well-being. And although I watch the news today, I take breaks. You know, you're going to have to put a comedy on every now and then. You're going to have to meditate. There's plenty of meditations on YouTube. You're going to have to take a walk around the block. You're going to have to drink some water. Self-care is so important when you're in this heightened emotional state of just anguish. And you were built for this, honey. When you came through that birth canal of your mom and your skin was melanin, honey, you were built for this. You have so much of resilience in your DNA. Look at this. This is years of trying to exterminate us, and we're still here. And ain't going nowhere. The frustration it must be of an enemy to try to kill something for such a long period of time. And you get to stand up and wake up every morning in your majesty, honey. You standing in the air. You're breathing the air of ancestral victory, baby. You're here because they were able to lay it down and keep it moving forward. And this is what we're going to do. And it's enough of us who know how to handle this to pick the other ones up along the way and take the brick out their hand. We can do that. And we can have patience with them and forgiveness with them. It's a lot of people like to sit on the sideline and annotate and talk about how the fight going. Ignore them. Everybody got an opinion, especially when they're indifferent. But you have to look and see what it is that you are called to do on this earth and use that fire inside you. And I want to commend my white brothers and sisters who are on the front lines fighting this just like the ones did in the 60s. You know, you come from a lineage. You come from a lineage to a victory. You know? And this is a war that is an internal war. And the real work starts when all of this stuff go back to what we call normal. That's when the war starts. This the easy part, making a sign and standing outside. The hard part going to come when you in those faculty meetings and you hear somebody say something offensive. The real work comes when you are at the store and you see people being unjustly treated, or when you see arrests happening on the side of the street and you stop and videotape because you know it takes a village. That's when the work starts. Not sitting here critiquing how angry somebody should express themselves or what type of anger expressions are most acceptable for you. Because most of these comments and posts that these people are making is about what makes them comfortable. It's not about a collective. Most of these people, you go on their page, you don't see that they are a part of any organization for civil rights. Everybody got an opinion because we're in the age of everybody has to feel some type of power by stepping on somebody else or shaming somebody else. So if you threw a brick yesterday and you didn't throw one today, wake up in your majesty, honey. Start again. You don't have to wait for the next revolution to do it right. You fix it as you go. You make adjustments. Champions win championships not because they're talented, but because they know how to make adjustments under pressure. And that's what we have to do, guys. We just have to make adjustments. You know? They know what we want, and we unfortunately have a president who so desperately wants to be a dictator. He don't know how to tell y'all that all he wants for Christmas is to be a dictator. That's all he wants. And he's doing everything he can to say, hey, I'm the guy who answers your prayers, who is your preacher, I'm your teacher, I'm your leader, and I'm your reprimander. I'm all in one. That's a dictator. That you would sit there and tear gas people so you can go take a photo op in front of a church today holding a Bible. Yet you didn't say not one scripture in there that said, blessed are the peacemakers. No, you held your Bible up and said, if I can make more gun, I mean, if I can shoot y'all and crack you across the head and get more tough and let me dominate you. That ain't scripture. But you're going to hold the Bible as a way of gaslighting and manipulating people into thinking that you are bigger and much grander than you are. And you're not, sir. Nothing that you do will make me forget that I live in a democracy. Nothing that you do will make me forget that I am protesting against the fact that we have a police department in America that feels like they can lynch a man, a black man, in broad daylight with witnesses because he felt like it. So it's like enough is enough with all the tomfoolery and the little shenanigans that everybody want to do. This is spiritual warfare, honey. I'm very convinced. And that's why every night since this happened, I've been able to sleep. Because I know where in my strength lies. And I know that if they did it, we can too. And now we can even say we did it with COVID-19 on our backs. So
wow.
I just want to encourage everybody to forgive daily, on a daily basis, and understand that this fight is not just about arguing on Facebook, but it's definitely about being aware and being connected and being in love with humanity and for humanity.
Wow, Ms. Gaines, so much, so much. Thank you for all the...
Thank
you.
You
dropped... Oh my gosh, so much. I heard everything you said, and I understand what you're saying about the forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gets frustrating when you keep, because you're from Georgia, the Deep South, you know, and
yeah,
we talked about it on here, and it's just like you keep seeing the same thing. I was, I live in L.A., and when I was here during the riots, and I remember that clearly, and, you know, things just keep happening. I, you know, went to law school, and that's why I went back to the classroom, because I was like, oh, this, I can't even use the law. Like, mm-hmm. It was like every mm-hmm. system, it's like, what do you do? Well, yeah, we can mm-hmm. forgive, but it's like, how do we actually make change, because people aren't getting heard, our voices aren't getting heard, and like children, you know, as educators, they're being neglected basically by the school system. And how do you get your voice heard if you can't use the law? Like, what else, what is there to do? We can forgive, but how do we, you know, like change the system for
the
better?
Right. So here's what I want to clarify with your question really quick. There is no, when you said, and I heard you say, we can forgive, and then you said the word but. You said we can forgive, but there is frustration. And I just want to offer that it is not an either or. You forgive while you're feeling frustrated. You forgive while you're sitting in your anger. you forgive while you are standing in front of the D.C. cop holding up a sign in peaceful protest. See, a lot of times when people hear forgiveness, it's like an internal thing that they think means that I let it go or I leave it alone. No, forgiveness just means I am not going to allow what you did to eat the insides of me. I'm not going to forget what you did. I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to seek justice. I am going to seek police reform. I'm going to seek civil rights issues as it comes to arrest and the treatment of African-American and African-American men and women in this world while I'm not allowing your evilness to come inside of me and disrupt my livelihood. That is the spiritual work that people have to learn how to do, is detach. You have to detach from the results of the movement, which means,
got it.
Are we going to get police reform today? No. So then focus on what you get today. Today I just get to participate in the collective. The autopsy report just came out today, which means that there's going to be some shuffling in the investigation and the charges and the next. So you, one thing that we got to learn to do in movement, that's why it's called a movement. It's not called a destination. If it was called a civil rights destination, we'd been unsolved everything, right? We there. But a movement means when I move, you move, just like that. When I move, you move, just
like that.
And when I move, you move, just like that. Right? So today, things are happening in real time, and we have to take our time and understand that I can't sit and feed in hating this man and wanting to kill him and wanting to get back and wanting to get revenge when this could very well take 6 months. I would have already killed myself. You have to allow your breath and your body to take real deep breaths. A lot of us are shallow breathing right now in anxiety and in fear and in anger and in all of that. And you have to tell your body, whoa, 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 honey, I'm not going to kill myself trying to fight the collective fight. This is a collective fight. And when you see military and teens who do a collective mission, they take breaks. They say, you go to sleep. And then I'm going to stay up. And then you go to sleep, we stay up. And we go to sleep, strategy. Because they know they have to have a body and a temple that they have to take care of to carry the mission out. But you can't do that if all you're doing is sitting there thinking how much you hate what happened. You got to memorize the strategy. You got to memorize the play. You got to register. You got to go vote. You got to be informed. You don't have time to sit there and just talk about how mad you are. And that's why I said, and I want to be very, very, very clear. Forgiveness does not mean you're not angry and frustrated. Forgiveness just means I'm not allowing his hatred to enter my body and eat up my livelihood. I'm going to exhale. You know, I'm going to eat well. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to rest so I can get up and be healthy enough to continue this fight for justice. And unfortunately, in America, we have to fight for justice. It's not free. So I have to forgive this man. I'm not going to let him take me to bed at night and wake me up in the morning. I'm not doing that because that was his whole mission, was to terrorize me. And forgiving somebody means you don't give them the power to control your thinking and your breathing and your upset. You get to control that. That's why I started in the beginning by saying, I'm choosing this time to allow myself to enter the bereavement process, the grief process that I need for me. And you get to choose whichever step in the process that you do first. There's no order. You can be in denial right now. You can be in anger right now. You can be in a negotiation stage right now. Like, God, why couldn't we just go back? And you can be in any stage that you need to be in the grief process, because the problem, The problem is everybody needs to understand in all of this we're still mourning the loss of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Aubrey and Tamir Rice and Trayvon Martin. Because the thing what happens is, like they say in psychology, when your heart breaks, every time your heart gets broken again, it breaks in the same spot all of the heartbreaks that you had in the past all over again. That's how come your bounce back is not as quick as it was when you were a kid. You used to get disappointed as a child. You be upset. You cry. You're back on the street again playing with the same friends that made you mad. But as you get older, you collect different disappointments and heartbreaks along the way. And when something like this happened, I felt every pain all the way down to Emmett Till. You understand? But I'm not going to allow any of the terrorists who brought that on to dictate whether I can sleep at night. You're not going to get that kind of power from me. And you're not going to have the kind of power over me to make me go break a law either or take away somebody else's livelihood because I'm in pain. And that's why when you see the looters and you see the arsonists, you need to remember hurting people hurt people. But forgiveness is how you don't hurt. You see what I'm saying?
Got it. Yes.
It's how you don't hurt in that way that you're going to go hurt somebody. It's you knowing how to emotionally be sober and sit in your feelings of frustration and anger and allow your spirituality to come in like white light and zen you on out for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And spirituality don't always have to be churchy. It always have to be organized. Sometimes it's you going to a park and just parking your car in the parking lot and getting a Kleenex and crying. Sometimes it's about just taking 10 deep breaths and turning your phone off. So we got to make sure that we're not interchanging forgiveness in any capacity as meaning being passive or letting somebody walk over you or not feeling your feelings. No, it just means that that person does not get to control me anymore.
Wow. Thank you so much, Ms. Gaines. What a great explanation. I'm glad that you said
yes.
All that you did. Thank you. It's so necessary. You are definitely a life coach, so much appreciated. And I'm glad you were able to close out our last episode of season 3.
Yes.
So
Sure,
thank you. How can our listeners stay in contact with you?
Find me at angelgaines.com. You know, all my social media is basically Angel Gaines. I'm on Instagram, angel.gaines. I have some videos on Instagram that you can come and check out where I talk a lot about boundaries. The little series I have is called Boundary Hunters because we are just hunting for boundaries in our life. And a lot of the pain and suffering we have is because we set poor boundaries. And that's on Instagram at angel.gaines on Instagram TV. And I'm on Facebook as well as Angel Gaines. So, you know, definitely follow me and check me out.
And I want to tell the listeners that if you scroll back on Facebook, you'll see at the beginning of the quarantine, she did a bunch of daily videos for parents with helpful hints specifically for parents of special needs students. So
exactly.
Check that out.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you.
That's our program.
You.
Thank you. That's our program for today and the last episode of season 3. Be sure to listen in on Teacher Talk season 4 on Tribe Family Channel with me, Stacey McClam, in August. And you can find me on all social media platforms at Stacey McClam. My website is stacymcclam.com. Thank you so much, Ms. Gaines. I am
Thank
all
you
about
for
forgiveness.
Me.
I'm a re-listen to what you said. Thank you so much. Very helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Have a good evening. Thank you. You too.
You too.
Good night. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm feeling like like a star. You can't stop my shine. This class is all mine. Gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today. Sporting backpacks and they're on their way. Yo, trying to learn the things we like. Going to my class, everything's alright. Oh, no one as smart as you. No one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule. Yeah, now I got my class together. I got my lesson plans together. Yeah, you know I got my act together. I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better. I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse.
Singing this song to open up their eyes. Jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine. This class is all mine. Gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I run my class like I know I should. I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood. I'm the difference in my class for the greater good. Yeah.
Getting my class to spread the wings. Being at school makes me wanna sing. Oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
We can change the world together. Teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather.
We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future, and the future's gaining speed.
If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed.
And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up their eyes. I'm jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine. This class is on time.
Gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
Teacher, I'm a teacher. Yeah.
You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes. I'm jumping in my ride. Gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star. You can't stop my shine.
Oh, class is online.
Gonna open up the mind.
I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher. Let me see the way you shine.